Amen, amen. It's so good to be with you guys this morning. And if you're new to our church, we are a expositional church, meaning we study books of the Bible verse by verse. We're not against topical messages. We just felt in our conviction, personal conviction of our church, that we will know God's word as we study expositional through a book of the Bible verse by verse. And for the last 2 years, we've been in the book, help me out, of Acts. All right, why? For the main reason, Acts was after Christ. When Christ ascended into heaven, then we see the birth of the new church. But listen to me, because of the role, the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You heard me? I heard one amen in there. Listen to me. Without the Holy Spirit of God, we are incapable to be Christians at all. We need God's regenerative power, which is done in His Spirit in our lives. Like, you could accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, but not be a believer, because you'll be like a lot of false converters, because you based on what you did with your mouth versus what God did in His Spirit in your heart. I haven't even started preaching, y'all. Did you hear what I just said? Like, you could have, as an early young child, could have accepted Jesus into your heart and not still be saved, because you based your conversion on what you did rather what the Spirit of God does in the heart of sinners. Amen. You need someone supernatural to rescue you from the dominion of darkness and place you in His everlasting life. We call Him Jesus. Say that name with me. Jesus. And we kicked off a new series in chapter 17 of Acts called, 1, 2, 3 with me, 1, 2, 3, momentum, moving forward. And we learned last week that the Hawaiian word for moving forward is imua. And the word imua is not just singular form, but plural form, that we join together to move together for the advancement of the gospel. And here's the heart of this series, right here. The heart of this series is to move people forward towards Jesus. Listen to me. It's not our goal to move people forward towards Kahuzik. It is not our goal to move people forward towards Ohana Church. We are an avenue to Jesus. Jesus is the only way to the Father. It's clear about that in the Scriptures. And so this whole series is simply about moving people forward towards Jesus. Why? Because He is the one that saves. He's the one that honi honis, lome lomes. He's the one that can do what we can never do in our flesh. Jesus is a sinless God-man. I know it don't make sense scientifically. That's why you got to go beyond your realm of physicalness and see it supernaturally, that only God can do something like that. Being both God and man in the flesh, being Jesus. And so as we look at this, we focused last week when we kicked off this series on this one question. As followers of Jesus, right, how will we advance the gospel when we come in front roadblocks? How many of you have had roadblocks this week, right? Yeah. How many of you are still battling with roadblocks right now, right? It's the reality. And so we answered the question, how do we move forward as followers of Jesus with the gospel of Jesus Christ when we face roadblocks? And we answered it this way. Roadblocks are the answer, is the answer. Because roadblocks does two things. It makes us give up, right? Or it makes us move forward. And here's the reality. When we give up, it's not bad. It depends who you give up to. Because our give up could be given into substance that have no God in it, have no Christ in it. But when we give up in Christ, then momentum is not governed by what we do, but it's governed what Christ does in and through our life when we surrender our will to Him. Why? Because our will always leads us astray from truth. Our will always leads us to things that don't look like Christ. I am guilty of that. So this whole heart series is to point people. And the reality is we see Brother Paul, right? Brother Paul is taking the gospel to areas that has not even heard the name of Jesus. It's not like Hilo, where we've heard the name of Jesus. I mean, they're going to areas that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's a little different because these areas are more highly prone to attacking people with different beliefs. And so Paul is going from town to town. He lands in Thessalonica. He goes into a Jewish synagogue, and he connects the dots, right, with the Jewish people and the new Christian beliefs. And he says, Jews, the same God you worship on the mountaintop in the Old Testament, the Torah, is the same God we worship. We call him Jesus. And he said, and the people got offended by that. Religious bullies got offended by that. So they forced Paul out of the city of Thessalonica, and Paul arrives at a town called Berea, a town you probably never heard of, but it is an important town because this town has cultivated and influenced what we know as the teaching of the gospel today. So if you have your word, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 17. If you don't, you can read it up on the screen. Would you stand with me in the reading of God's word? You may always ask, why do we stand in the reading of the God's word? Why do you stand when the pig ball is kicked, right? He's God. Let's stand for him. Amen? Amen. He goes on to say this in verses 10 to 16. It says, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to where? Berea, okay? Berea. All right. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men, meaning just a bunch of people agreeing about the gospel. Number 13, verse 13. But when the Jews from Thessalonica, when the religious bullies, right? When they learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens. And after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to Paul as soon as possible, and the brothers departed. God, thank you for your word. But whether people believe it or not, it's still your word. You're still truth. And God, just love us where we need loving. Heal us where we need healing. And God, may you receive all the credit for it. In Jesus' name we pray and we say, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I want to be transparent with you this morning. Can I be transparent with you? Yes. Are we cool? No, for real, Hawaiians. Hawaiians are hot. Are we cool? Because I'm going to show you some personal things that, like, only family members get to see. Like, I don't even put these things on Instagram, Jack, okay? Are we cool? Amen. Okay, let me show you a couple pictures. Here's the first picture, all right? This is me, 30. I said, are we cool? And you're saying, it's a baby filled with sin, all right? Like every other baby. All right, here we go. This is Ezekiel Ethan Kapuakailima Tomaselli, all right? I was born 33 years ago. It was my father and my mother's joy to have me when my father was 45 years of age. All right, my father's an older brother. He gets plenty of wisdom. But this was me when I was born, okay? See that intense football eyes? God knew what he was doing, right? It's just a baby, y'all. Get over it. All right, next one. All right, here was me a year or 2 years old. You see the fat head? You know the fat head is all the manao God was giving me, yeah. All that stuff, right? All that fat head, you will see, had a bunch of cracks on it when I was a baby. You may say, how? We'll go to the next picture. Here's the next picture. You see that bump on the head? Come on. All right? No more teeth. Hey, doesn't that other picture look like Kaimana? Yeah. Isn't it crazy what God does and all that? Right? So that was me, Kolohe Day, 6, 7 years old. That was the hammer growing up in the Tomaselli household. And when I mean hammer, the only boy, okay? God bless my father, them, and all that. So there was joys in these times. This is the time where I started getting involved in Keokaha football, you know, Papuana, basketball, all that stuff. Then, you know, I became a teenager, and I thought I was the coolest teenager, like everyone here in the room, right? This is the next picture, my senior year of high school. Right, there's my picture, right? I don't know what happened, but for some local boys, we always loved that small little mustache that was up there, okay? Everybody had that small little mustache. Never even get, you know, I wasn't like, you know, one of our football players. Look like a grown man right now, you know, when he puts on his helmet. He looked older than me. You know, I didn't get facial hair by God's grace till when I was in my 20s and all that. But we see something that's consistent, and it's growth. It's growth. We see physical growth. As you can see, even today, I have gained a lot of glory. You know what I'm saying? We see growth. But what I want to talk about beyond physical growth is spiritual growth. And as we look at today's text, the question that I want to ask in pertaining to this scripture right here is, are you growing? As a follower of Jesus, are you growing? Look at what Colossians 1:28 says. This is Paul at his latter years of ministry, about to be, his head is about to be chopped off in Rome for the cause of the gospel. And he says this about growth, spiritual growth. He says, Christ we what? Say that again. 1, 2, 3. Christ we what? We proclaim. Warning some. Come on now. Warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. That we may present everyone what? 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 In Christ. Mature in Christ. Tell your neighbor, neighbor. Are you growing? Tell your other neighbor, neighbor. Are you growing? Tell your invisible angel in front or back of you, say, hey, are you growing? You know, that's the case. Are we growing? And we're not saying like this way, Hawaii. I know I'm planning on Kalua Pig last night or something. I'm not talking about that growth. I'm talking about as followers of Jesus, are we growing in Christ? Or we just playing church and we being every other hypocrite Christian that everybody know of outside of the church? Are we growing in Christ? And as we look at our text today, I want us to answer that very question. What does a growing Christian look like? What does a growing Christian look like? Say that with me. 1, 2, 3. What does a growing Christian look like? Thank you for asking. Here's the answers. Here's 5 points, 5 examples of a growing Christian. If you're ready, say, I'm ready. Ho'o, mau, kau, kau. Number one, one that partners in the mission of God. When we look at growth in a follower of Jesus, we got to put this to the test. You may say, well, Carl, you just put that on the screen to make it look fancy. No, look at the verse. The verse, verses 11 says this. Now these Jews were more known. I mean, it says, verse 10, the brothers immediately sent who? Paul and who? Silas. Who are the brothers? The brothers of Thessalonica. We see partnership in the gospel. God didn't save you to be alone. Hello? God saved you to be with other believers, to partner together to advance the gospel. It says, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. Why did they send them by night? Because they were being persecuted in Thessalonica. Listen to me, the gospel has not gone this far. In all of history, up to this point, that Thessalonica was the furthest place that the message of Jesus came. And so these new Christians in Thessalonica was like, well, they can't stop here. Because they know that Rome ruled the world. And Thessalonica led to Rome. And the gospel needed to get to Rome. So that's why it went from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria so that it could get as far as to Thessalonica and beyond. And so they said, man, let's go to the next town. What was the next town? A small little country town called Berea. Now, Berea was like Keokaha. Berea was like Papaiko. Berea was like Pepekeo, the small little towns, the Hawaiian community, the Japanese community, the Filipino community, the Portuguese community. That was Berea. Well, what Berea was good at, they had plenty mana'o. Plenty mana'o. In fact, there is a denomination today called the Berean Mission Denomination. And these Bereans were filled with truth. And we see that because of persecution, this is what persecution does. Persecution hurts believers in Jesus, but it also advances the gospel. That's the good part about persecution. So we see persecution sent to this new city called Berea, and then we see a partnership taking place, not just in Thessalonica now, but with these Bereans. One that partners in the mission of God is a sign of a growing Christian. Are you partnered in the mission of God? Or are you going through the motions of church? Like, are you just coming on Sundays and that's it? But are you living this out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, with your friends, in your job area? We think that the church gathering on Sunday is both the starting and end point, and it's not. The church on Sunday is just the starting point. The end point is when Jesus returns for us. So none of us have arrived yet, me included. There is joy when we see this truth that and a growing Christian begins with one that partners in the mission of God, like we see in the believers of Thessalonica, Paul and Silas, and now the people of Berea. But number two, here's the next example of a growing Christian. One that proclaims the mission of God. Now, this is tough, because many of us in this room may say we have this relationship with God, but nothing else happens after that. Like, there's an upward relationship between me and God, but that's all. That is not the gospel. That is not Christianity. In fact, when you look at today's current events, social media tells you what you proclaim. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it tells you what you proclaim. But it cannot be Christianity if it just stays vertical. It has to be horizontally. What goes in us, here's the truth, man, must what? Come out. Like, you can use that spiritually, you can use that physically. Whatever goes in us must come out of us. If it stays in us, we become spiritually obese. That's what happens. If we're soaking truth in all week, if we're getting theology and doctrine and all this stuff, but we do nothing with it, then we become spiritually obese, and that becomes unpleasing to a good God. Like, oh, I hope Kyle Zeke preaches to that guy. Like, I brought my friend to church today. I hope he preaches to that person individually. No, you need to preach to that person. The gospel doesn't start with me or end with me. The gospel starts with us in partnership together. Actually, I would even take it further than that. The gospel starts with Jesus. And it ends with Jesus. That's the message of the gospel. And when we see that, some of us are physically unhealthy because our spirit is dead. Some of us are physically unhealthy because our spirit is not healthy. And some of us, you may look physically healthy, but your spirit is still dead. Like, you may look like you could live longer than any of us in this room. You work out every day, three times in the day. You may be single if you work out three times in the day, y'all, okay? And the reality, all right? And you look hammerish. You look glorious. You look, yeah, I created my own word. I'm on the stage. I can do whatever I want, all right? You just look good. But in your heart, you're filthy and dead. In your heart, you is as filthy. You may look good in a bikini, and on the inside, you look rotten. Because God does not measure how much weight you live, what waist size you have today. He measures the heart. And for a lot of us, what we proclaim comes directly from the heart. And Paul, Silas, Thessalonica, and now Berea, their heart is filled with the gospel. And they cannot help but advance the gospel. Look at the intensity of this words. We see it in verse 11. Now these Jews in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. What does he mean by that? They were more receptive of this gospel than those Jews in Thessalonica. They received the word with all what? Eagerness. Examining. Oh, that's a good word. Examining the scriptures. Look at this. There's two things that we see of the Berean believers. Number one, they examined the word of God. They didn't just trust what Kahu Zeke said on the stage. And if that's you, that's wrong. Put my words to the test. What I preach, for any preacher that's in front of you. Why? Because you control you. You have only you can control. But you got to examine every word that comes out of someone's mouth that speaks truth. Number two, we saw life change from the word. Like, after examining the word, they also were changed by the word. Can I get a witness there? How many of you have been changed by the word? Can I get it right? Man, it's true. I've been changed. If you knew me 16 years ago, I was a different man. I was a different teenager. I wasn't what you've seen today. And the joy of this was that as I examined scripture, I saw the truth of Jesus. That Jesus was better than everything else that I've tried or been living in at the time. And the Bereans, the word, we see this word, we see the Bereans were hungry. Like they were hungry for God's word. And I love that phrase, guys, examining the scriptures daily. Like that is big. They examine, the Greek word for examine is the word anakreno. Anakreno, it's this, to investigate, to research. And not only that, to make sense of. Right, one of my favorite shows to watch, you may not know this, but I watch it like almost every week on Netflix, is the Andy Griffith Show. Like, yeah, what is this Kanaka doing watching the Andy Griffith Show? How many of you know what I'm even talking about? Then, yeah, some of you, Millennial X, don't even know what I'm talking about, right? And all that. If it's not Justin Bieber, you don't know that, right? But the reality is, I love the Andy Griffith Show. And Andy Griffith does a lot of things. In every episode, there's a life character lesson. And what happens is examination of things. He is the sheriff of Mayberry, and he has to examine certain things. Now, you guys got to know Andy. Andy is on good brada. I mean, like, the only sheriff that you will know don't carry a gun. Like, this bugger is nuts, right? You try not carry a gun as a sheriff in Hilo Town, all right? Better yet, come where I live in Puna, all right? You're not going to be sheriff that much longer, Hawaiian, okay? That's the reality, but he trusted his conviction, all right? What he believed in and all that, not to carry a gun, but he had to examine things thoroughly. And what we notice is that he always wins at the end of his saga because he examined things. Some of us, like me, just mount off at the mouth without examining stuff. Some of us get our own reputation in trouble. So when it's hard for us to make a difference in the community, when all they think of is someone who's foolish and doesn't examine his own words, or people who allows him to influence themselves. We need to examine the word that intensely. Like this is like, when they created the Bible, here's some theology class for you. When they put the Bible together, all right, we got copied manuscripts. Over 24,000 copied manuscripts for the New Testament alone. The closest manuscript to history is what we know as the Galatic Wars or anything that Plato wrote, Aristotle wrote and all that, which is like 700 copied manuscript. Christianity has 25,000. All right, so you do the math on that. It says when they canonized the Bible together, and as they're putting it together and copied the manuscript together, it was so intense that if they sweat on the text, they would burn the whole paper and start from scratch again. Now, I'm not saying that if, like, we're reading Acts, and I sweated, like right now I just sweated on Acts 17, right, that they just burned Acts 17. No, they burned the entire Bible and started from scratch all over again. That's the magnitude of examination. And when it says that they examined the word, what really meant was they were examining their heart as well. And so today you're examining two things, the word of God and how it connects with your heart. And so as we examine those two things, we see something that resulted into these Bereans coming to know Christ. These Bereans who loved Christ. This is why academics is good. Don't be one of those Christians that says academics is not good, all right? I've met a lot of people like that. Academics is good. My father did not have academics. He was a kahu, but they had no theological background, nothing at all. He never went to school, but he was a powerful preacher, man of God and all that. But listen to me, academics is good for our generation. It helps us grow. It helps us define the investigation and what makes sense of. Look at the words of what they use. In Luke 23, we see Jesus saying, we see Jesus on the spot before he crucified with Pilate saying this word of examination. He said, and he said to them, who? The Jewish people, the religious bullies. You brought me this man Jesus as one who was misleading the people. And after what? Examining, right? Anakreno, right? After anakreno, after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. With the physical evidence, we see God's mission attacked by his own people. If you understand Luke, he's not talking about the world. He's talking about Jewish believers. Jewish people who believe in Jehovah, Yahweh. This is why people say the worst people in the world are Christians. They're hypocritical, they're liars, they're stealers, they're fornicators, they're deceivers. This is the perfect church for you to be in then. Because we have a commonality in need for a Savior. But what the church has become this holier-than-thou gathering, when in all reality, we need people who need to be freed from sin. You are the church. Every one of you, even in your righteousness, you are a sinner. Because you righteously claim things that only God can hold and not you. So you begin to prejudge things that has no effect of the gospel. Are you with me? There is truth to this. So one that proclaims the mission of God is one that's growing in Christ. As you study the Bible, I want to teach you a technique. And really, it's the only technique I know of and I use, but it's called exegesis versus eisegesis. When I study the Word of God, this is how I prepare to study and deliver the Word of God. Exegesis means to lead out from the text, and eisegesis means to lead into the text. Which do you think is correct? Exegesis, because my opinions don't matter. And this is the problem with people today, especially Christians. They've heard things and heard things and heard things, and they think it's right. But they've noticed that it was an eisegetical approach versus an exegetical approach. Let me break it down what it means for you. Okay, so we go to the next slide. Exegesis means this. They focus on observation. What does that mean? What does the passage say? Not what does Kahuzik say, but what does the passage say? Number two, interpretation. What does the passage mean? Not what I say it means. What does the passage says it means? Number three, correlation. How does the passage relate to the rest of the Bible? Are you with me? And number four, application. How should this passage affect my life? Here's the problem. The next step, eisegetical. All right, look at the eisegesis. Number one, imagination. Many of you have been in churches, and this is where they start from. They start with the Bible from an imaginational point of view. They put their opinion to the text, rather the text to their imagination. Are you with me? Number two, exploration. What scripture passages seem to fit my idea? This is every Facebook post every day. Do you guys know that some of you guys put posts on, like scripture posts, and it may not mean what you think it means? Because you didn't do the right exegetical process. Like, you can't read a verse from a verse. You got to read the whole book to understand that one verse. That is called lazy theology. Because we want to just think, oh, that feels good to me. That's wrong. And then lastly, third, application. Here's the issue with eisegetical. I do it. Many preachers have done it in the past. I've done it in the past. I try my best not to do it anymore. We want to preach our motive. Like, so when I see people in the crowd, and I'll just be honest, I fall short just like you. When I see certain people in the crowd and I look at them, sometimes my messages may go towards an eisegetical approach because I want that person to get it. That is not how you preach the Word of God. And look, I'm being transparent with you. I'm being honest with you. And what I do is I got to get back to the Word to eisegete the Word. Why? Because we honor Christ when we proclaim His Word thoroughly through. Not making up things to make people feel better about their feelings, but also not degrading them to make them feeling bad about themselves. But having a balance of truth, because the gospel calls us to express truth. You shall know the truth and help me out. Here's the next example of a growing Christian. Number three, one that suffers in the mission of God. Say that with me. One, two, three. One that suffers in the mission of God. A lot of America is spoiled today. No, for real. You guys, we guys, us, y'all, we're spoiled. Why? Man, if we lived in the Middle East, we would not be doing this morning. I promise you that. In fact, right now, Wednesday, I talked to my friend. We have a missionary in the Middle East, and his visa has just expired. He's still trapped in the Middle East. And if he don't find a way to get back home in America, being a Christian in the Middle East without a visa, his family who is in the Middle East with him will not see him again, and we will not see him again. You think we got it hard in America now? Like, we have the open door of the gospel to share truth. We have the open doors of the gospel to share truth. And listen to me, if we're not suffering, you may have to question your fellowship with Christ. If you're not suffering, because suffering, as we learned last week, is a tool that God uses to point us back to Him. Why? Because our flesh says this: God, I don't need you. I'm good by myself. I'll get it done. But what the gospel does, it says, God, I can't do it at all. I need you completely. And look at what it says in verse 13. But when the Jews, the religious bullies from Thessalonica, learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul in Berea also, they came there to agitate and stirring up the crowds. This is what they did. They did a political scheme to get these Christians out of the town. They did a political scheme. And listen to me. This is not worldly people. These are people who say they believe in God that's doing this. Like, it's one thing for politicians to come after you. It's a whole other thing when religious people come after you. Because for some reason, religious people know how to move stuff. But listen to me. Religion will get you one way, a straight ticket to hell. You don't need more religion. You need a relationship with Jesus. Religion tells me this is what I have to do. This is what I can't do. A relationship with Jesus says, I have already done it. Just live in it. This is what religion says. Religion says, I have to be good, I have to be holy, I have to do all this. Jesus says, my relationship with you, you are holy, you are righteous. Live in it. Embrace it. Grasp it. Look at what John MacArthur says about this suffering. He says, those who courageously proclaim the right message and win converts will face conflict. Those who courageously proclaim the right message and win converts will face conflict. Listen to me. As our mission at Hilo High progress more, as football players come to know Jesus more, guess what's going to happen? Conflict. Why? Because it is against school polity to have church and state mingled together. I promise you. Watch if a revival come on our football team. If the whole football team come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Guess who's going to be the first one persecuted out of that program? Ohana Church. Why? Because that's what the gospel says. And we should rejoice in that. Why? Because if persecution happened, something's going right. Like if you're getting persecution in your life because you share Jesus and you're receiving suffering, something good's happening in your life. But listen to me. You got to understand what persecution is, all right? Okay? Persecution is not somebody just saying, hey, you shouldn't do that. Or say, it's beyond words. They physically move you from your position. Persecution also attacks your family, as we learned last week with Jason. That's what persecution does. But listen to me. Don't grasp and gloat in persecution. Gloat that God gave you some opportunity to share the gospel with people. In Jesus alone. That's the joy. Because we think everything that comes against us is persecution. And that's not true. That could be just a test by God. That could be nothing at all. Rather, how you respond to it. John MacArthur, those who courageously proclaim that message and will convert people will be conflicted. Look at what John 10 says about the devil. He says, for the enemy comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour you. The problem is you live by your eyes and not by faith. And you don't even know that your best friend is demonically possessed. You may not even know that the people that you live in is sending you straight to hell. You may not even know that some of the churches you go to don't speak truth. Therefore, because you don't hear the truth, you're not going to be set free. You got to be set free. You have to be set free. That is found in Jesus. Look at this reality truth. Success will always be accompanied by opposition. When God is doing a work in you, bro, sister, you better be ready, because opposition is going to happen. We're experiencing it at the church right now. People want the old Ohana Church, but the reality is you can't get the old Ohana Church because we're not living by faith. We're living by based what already happened, but God has a new thing and a new season for you. Amen. I know it. I've lived it. People come and go because they want something that they cannot have, and they already have something that they need, a relationship with the Lord Jesus. That's enough. Listen to me. Methods will change. How we do church may change. Theology and doctrine and principles will remain the same. Why? Because that's what's lasted this book for all the entire time. This book will outlast you, live you. I promise you that. God's word will outlast all of us. We got to get back to it. Suffering does one thing. It makes us dependent and victorious in the finished work of Jesus Christ. When we understand that suffering is our gain, then we become dangerous. Listen to me. One of the most Christian nations in the world right now is in the Middle East. Iran is seeing 30,000 to 40,000 Iranians come to faith in Jesus from Muslim backgrounds every day today. 40,000. Like, you should be excited about that. There is 40,000 Muslims coming to Jesus every day. Many of them will be killed in the next few weeks. Many of them will be murdered in the next few years. Listen to me. The gospel does that. The gospel sends people from harsh circumstances to everlasting life. You need to hear this. The gospel of Jesus Christ does one thing, change lives. Change lives and lives more abundantly. Look at this last truth and we be Paul. On two more truths. Now, number four, here's a growing Christian, one that produces leaders in the mission of God. We need to reproduce ourselves, guys. If you, if me, if we never make people more than just us, then that's all it is. Let's think about it as football. Every 4 years, there's a new team. New freshmen come in, right? They have to learn the position of playing football. Whether it's a skill position, whether it's a line position, they have to learn. Why has the church stopped doing that? God has called us to replicate Him, to multiply Him. And we do that through what we see in verse 14. It says this, then the brothers, the Berean believers, immediately. Now, they never wait. Immediately, the brothers sent Paul off on his way to the sea. But Silas and who? Timothy remained there. Listen to me. These Bereans just came to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior. They needed someone to coach them, to train them, to mentor them. But Paul was in opposition and suffering because the Thessalonica bullies came down to Berea. And so what Paul did, he left two brothers that he trained, he equipped. He left them in Berea to coach them and to minister to them. And then Paul continued on. What's happened? What do I mean by that? If I should ever lead this fellowship, if Kahu Marcus should ever leave this fellowship, it's okay. Why? Because we're reproducing Jesus' followers.